Welcome. You are listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner here from New Perspectives Photography alongside Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City. We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our 2019 underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord here in this beautiful technical building here at Walt Breitinger. And if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this wonderful place, you can call them at 219-462-5821. Thank you for your generous support. And thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, who's a station manager and helping Esther engineer our show today.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Greg, so much. If you're interested in being a guest on our show or sending us information about your arts or arts-related event, exhibit, or whatever you have going on, and we're including authors and musicians in our program. We're trying to expand our scope in...
Yes, please write to us.
And that can be done at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. And this program will be rebroadcast on Mondays at 5 p.m. streaming live. And, of course, you can listen to this always streaming live at wvlp.org. By the way, talking about support, you know, this station is a community-based station, and we're always looking for support among our listeners and everything. And this particular program and whatever we're doing here at WVLP is important to you. You can become part of the success in the air. Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program, Art on the Air. You can do any type of support. You just go to wvlp.org/support. We have levels at different levels. If you're a business or other type of organization, we have underwriter levels starting at $300 a year, all the way upward from that. We want you to become not only just a listener, but a supporter or an underwriter of what we're doing here so we can expand and grow more. And remember, like I always say, and everyone kind of chuckles in the studio when I say that, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. So join the WVLP family right now. And now we're going to start out with the art calendar. So we'll start with Porter County. And actually, Esther and I said, kind of a light arts time
art
right now.
Art calendar light, yes.
So a second ago.
March, probably.
Right, probably. But at Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, the Brower Museum, already opening is January 8th, and it's going through March 31st. At the Brower Museum is Icons on Ammo Boxes. And it's actually art that's actually done on old military ammo boxes. Art by Sofia Altanova and Alexander Klemenko. Well, I'm glad I got that all out. And then they also have a second exhibit, Line, Force, and Burn Rubber, Sarah Kremp and Olivia Petridis. And then The Art of Lynn Olson. And they have an opening reception January 13th. Well, they had the opening reception, I should say, on January 13th. So you can go through there and see the wonderful art at Brower Museum. The Ellen Firm Gallery on US 12 in Beverly Shores will feature... continue to feature Holly Jackson through the end of January. And it's a selection of her paintings that she's done through 2018, so her more current work. Art Barn, and we got something special going on here, and they're going to tell us more about that with our guests today. But Monday night, they have a five-week series that they just started on January 14th through February 11th, and it's the Monday Night Watercolors. So if you missed the first one, you can still probably get in on that and everything. They have also Art of Plantifying Your Life starting on January 30th with Food for Life. Instructor Allison will take you through that and cover from the holidays with all that stuff and excesses that we did. Memorial Opera House, Mega Beatles Live in Concert. That's January 19th, this coming weekend, 7:30. It's $35 reserved seating, and you can find out more information at info@memorialoperahouse.com. And then at the Art Z Fine, and we had those folks on just a couple weeks ago, January 19th, Cocoa, Cupcakes, and Canvas. That's Saturday, January 19th, and that's from noon to 2 p.m. So that's what we have going on in Porter County. I know not much in LaPorte County, but go ahead and tell us what we have.
No, but, you know, there's a few things. So in LaPorte County, we have the Lubeznik Center for the Arts. And I believe they are in between exhibits, but they have upcoming classes, so please check their Facebook page and their website. Let's see, Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street. They're exhibiting the work of Rick Lang and Suzanne Cohen Lang. They're paintings, drawings, and sculptures. A lot of these galleries are closed until March. The Nest, we're at 803 Franklin Street. We have the work of David and Margie Kreiner, David's abstract work and Margie's geometric paintings. Michigan City Toastmasters meets every first and third Monday of the month at 6:15 p.m. The next meeting is on the 21st. Mindful Fiber Artists Gathering. That's January 20th at 1 p.m. Please come for exciting conversation. Bring a project that you're working on or something that you would like input on. January 26th is the debut of our monthly Every Kind of Talent show with the fabulous MC of MC'd by Captain Ambivalent and his golden accordion. So it's Vaudeville meets Show and Tell. Please look at the events listing and sign up. Then on February 3rd, we have Social Media Tips and Tricks for Artists from 2 to 4 p.m., and that's hosted by Jade from Pieces of Jade. We're looking really forward to that. And that is all for LaPorte County.
Well, you know,
please use our, you know, we look through social media trying to find things to put on our calendar, but it would be so helpful if you emailed us
at artontheair, WVLP, at gmail.com so we can keep up on you. Well, let's move to Lake County and South Shore Arts. They still have registration open for the winter sessions, though they did begin January 7th. Some of the courses don't begin, so you can contact them on their Facebook page or website. At South Shore Arts main Bachman Gallery, running through January 29th, is Indy Windy, A Love Story. And again, these are large artworks that are seen in like urban settings and environments and aging manufacturing areas, and they document the experiences there, and they create works in the private studios. It was curated by Ish Muhammad, who is from Northwest Indiana. In the atrium, which opened on January 11th and running through March 24th, James Jakoviak, and he's an artist, has an artist reception coming in March 3rd. He's a Chicago-born artist, and he has current paintings focusing on color and familiar forms as a means of communication in our day. Cafe Fresco, Laura Izzard, still continues through January 27th with her unique pieces at One Court Street in Crown Point. Toll Theater will continue to have oil artist Lori Shimmer Carpenter in Hammond, and that's at the Toll Theater, 5202 Holman Avenue. Studio 659, which I'm actually heading to this afternoon to drop off my pieces for this work, the annual Jared Show Artistic License. And it will open January 25th through March 4th, salon-style show. And we will have a reception on January 25th at 5 to 7 p.m. And so you can stop by there. That's located right in the downtown area. And then also the Miller Arts and Creative District. The Kellen Firm exhibit is still going on through January 20th. So you can still catch it. The Marshall Gardner Center for the Arts. Kevin has not only 38 drawings, but 28 sculptures on display there. And finally, just kind of tooting my own horn, Nostalgic Structures and Scenics exhibit, which is 15 pieces of my own work at the 8585 Broadway Professional Building. It used to be called the Chase Bank Building, a different kind of names, but it's in the lobby there, so you can just go in and see it. And there's
congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank
I do have something else for Lake County.
Okay, go right ahead.
We had Eve from Dig the Dunes, and she mentioned Bingo for Benches, and that's tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Aquatorium at 6918 Oak Avenue. So let's support getting benches for the Aquatorium.
Yes, because it's a beautiful, beautiful place and kind of a lot of history right along the shore there for the lake.
Completely.
So, well, we're moving on to our guests. We're going to have the new executive director from the Art Barn, Amy Davis Navardauskas. I almost got it right, I think. And along with Sharon Angelina, who also is in residence there, I guess you'd say, the artist in residence would be kind of a way and lives there. Anyway, Amy comes to us from the Art Barn. She originally was with working at the Lebesnik Center for the Arts as the marketing director and everything, but has now taken on this new mantle and everything. So we'd like to welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay. Well, why don't we first start about the history of the Art Barn? I mean, this is a little gem out in the middle of almost nowhere. And I know I stumbled across it.
It's in the middle of everywhere.
Well, maybe that's it. But it's kind of really literally out in the country. And I first came across it years ago, like during, the Sunflower Festival or something like that. So whichever way you want to start.
Yeah. Well, the Art Barn has a 40-year history in the community. And it was founded by Jan Sullivan, who purchased the property with the idea that it would be like the clearing in Door County, Wisconsin, which is a place where artists go to grow and to rest and to make work and to learn. And so she had this vision of creating a little pocket of arts education in Porter County, and so she did that, and we're still here.
Wow. So, and now you live there.
Yes, I do.
And so you actually live in the barn or in the house, right?
I live in the house.
Next to the barn.
Yeah, there's two apartments upstairs from the main house, main level floor. So, and they've been rented out for several years now.
Okay.
A couple decades.
So you're close at hand to what's going on there.
I am close. I'm now, right in it.
Now, do you guys, I know you have animals on site. Who takes care of the animals there?
We have a caretaker.
Okay.
His name is Francis, and he's been our caretaker for quite some time. So we have a small horse named Bunny and a donkey whose name escapes me.
Do you Moses.
Know? Moses. And chickens and a couple goats and some rabbits.
So it literally is a barn.
Yeah.
Well, very good. So what does the art, what's kind of like the mission of Art Barn? You know, we know it's listed as a school of art, but, you know, tell us a little bit about what you do.
So we have an educational mission. So our goal is to create a collaborative environment where people can come together and learn, come to experience cultural programs, and you know, to experience the I don't know, the environment that encompasses the barn, because you know, there's 69 acres there as well, so there's a lot to, you know, do while you're there. So yeah, educational okay. mission base mostly.
So what are some of the core classes they would offer?
Mm-hmm. So I hate to hog the microphone.
Right, go right ahead. There must be lots of plein air, huh?
Plein air group is very active mm-hmm. In our offerings. We have an open studio, and they oftentimes come in and work together. They're very there's a lot of camaraderie among the artists that come to our open studio, which is every Tuesday and Thursday from 10 to noon.
Noon to four.
Sorry. so we have an ongoing water class with Julia Holmes, who's been involved with the Art Center for a number of years. She's our board president currently.
And a brilliant watercolor artist.
Yes, she is, and she's a great teacher too. So she's teaching a watercolor class. We're 2 weeks in on this session, but you can still join in. And those are on Monday nights from 6:30 to 9.
What is the cost?
It's $100 for a 5-week session. Okay. Sharon has a class. Do you want to talk about some of your classes?
Sure. I just started teaching a class called Drawing for Scaredy Cats, which is for brand new people who are, you know, those people that say, I can't even draw a stick figure. And I say, I guarantee you, by the time you're done with this 5-week series, you will be drawing, and you'll be at least satisfied with what you're putting out. So that's on Tuesday nights from 6 till 8. And it's mostly for adults. I do have a couple younger people that come into that because they're very advanced. And even if you're an advanced artist or have started already drawing and feel like you just want to kind of see things in a different way, or you want to get more into the structural technique of drawing, it is still a good class for those kind of people too. So
is that what you do? What is your artistic discipline? Is it mostly drawing or do you paint?
I use any media I can get my hands on. And I'm always learning. So I'm a continual student of art.
Excellent.
Well, being the perpetual student is what anything should be about, like with whatever your art or whatever your endeavor is. So, mm-hmm. Well, I think our audience would be interested in each of your backgrounds. So why don't you tell us a little bit like where you went to college, where you, first of all, like where are you from? Are you from the region? Did you come to the region and everything
sure.
like that? So,
sure. Amy? Well, I've primarily lived in Northwest Indiana. So I was born in Northwest Indiana and lived in between Lake and Porter counties during my childhood. Graduated from, I went to Chesterton High School most of my school career and graduated from Valpo. And then I went down to Purdue in West Lafayette and got my degree there. And
what was your degree in?
My degree was in fine art.
Oh, well, that's appropriate.
Yeah. So I was down there and I really liked the area down in West Lafayette, and I chose to stay. So I was actually there for 14 years. I lived down there for a while. I worked at Purdue while I was there in their printing services program, so I got a good background in commercial printing. I fell in love with a person who lived up here, and I came back, and we got married. And so I returned in, must have been 2001, that I returned. I got married here, and then so I've been back since then.
Wow, that's the year we met, I think.
I think I started at Lubesnik Center at about 2004. Okay. So I think we met when
around that time.
Around that time. So that kind of quickly brings me to my career in Michigan City. So I worked on and off with Lebesnik Center for, I think it was about 12 to 14 years. I started in 2004. I was gone for a few years. But I came back and just recently left again. So
to become the executive director of Art Barn.
Yeah, I left to take on this role at Art Barn. So I'm really excited about it, and it's really it's very different to be an executive director than yeah. You know. To
so when
be
you
a
saw
mid,
that
mid-level.
Listing that they were looking for an executive director, what was the first thing that popped into your mind that you wanted to contribute to that role?
What I was thinking was that it would just be so exciting to be able to help an organization that's has a smaller operation be able to grow their operations and be able to increase their offerings and be able to become a bigger part of the arts and culture in the region.
I know we all help each other thrive, so it's so yeah. exciting, Amy.
Yeah, there's so many collaborative opportunities because mm-hmm. there are so many arts organizations, so many non-for-profits and artists. So it's this community is very rich with a lot of artistic offerings, and so it's really exciting to be part of that.
I know I've said this before about Northwest Indiana as a whole, but if you were to take like our three county area and transplant it like in the middle of nowhere, we're about the size of Indianapolis. So mm-hmm. we really do deserve, but we live in the shadow of Chicago so much sometimes, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean that that's a bad thing necessarily. There's great culture there, but we have our own like theater rich environment, arts rich environment. And absolutely. Sometimes we overlook that because, oh, well, it's got to be better in the city. And so I think that's true. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Sharon, your thanks. Background, where you came from, how you got here? And
oh, thanks, Larry. I was born in Lake County, and I grew up in Dyer. And then in my 20s, I moved to Porter County, and I never went back to Lake County. I felt like Porter County was just a little more open and less traffic, and it was I fell in love with the community here. And I discovered a really wonderful art and music community. Like you just said, it's I don't feel like we're missing out on anything. We have so much talent here. In the arts and theater. Oh my gosh, the theater around here is amazing. So
I know it's over brimming. It's wonderful.
It is. It's really wonderful. And I'm excited to be a part of it. And I want to say I'm so excited that Amy is with us at the Art Barn now. It's been wonderful. And we're really looking forward to the surprises and the planning and the great things that are coming up for the Art Barn. I graduated from Lake Central and I got married and moved to Porter County, like I said, in my early 20s. And I started working at the Art Barn in 1998. That's when I met Jan and the whole little culture that's out there at the Art Barn. And all those great artists, Conrad Ustel and Virginia Phillips and mm-hmm. and Marge Crawford and those contemporaries of Jan's who had such an impact on me. I had done art my whole life since grade school. Everyone said, oh, you know, I was the kid they would come to and say, draw this picture for me. So I never had any formal training. I'm self-taught. When I kind of don't like using that term because I feel like I learned from everybody. I learned from all the other great artists and the local artists. So and I like to, you know, practice that and increase my talent and my skill. But I was really lucky to get the opportunity in 2014. They asked me if I wanted to come and start teaching. They had lost one of their Thursday night children's teachers. And I thought, you know, I can do this. So that's when I started actually teaching there. And then in 2016, we lost our secretary. She had quit, and they were kind of scrambling for someone. I said, you know, I know this place, and I'm already living here. By that time, I had moved into one of the apartments, and I said, I'll help you guys out. I'd like to work here. So I've been working in the office since February.
That's so beautifully organic, isn't it?
Yeah, I just sort of grew right into it. I love it.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah, it's a great place to be. I enjoy every day there.
Oh, that's
great. I agree.
Great.
It is a great place.
Yeah. It is. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and we're talking to the folks from Art Barn. School of Art is actually the full name of it because you really consider yourself a school and everything, even though you do exhibit, but your primary focus is education, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Good, good. So what are some of your visions as the new executive director for this place?
Well, that's a really good question during this period of time, like Sharon kind of hinted at, that, you know, we're doing a lot of strategizing and prioritizing and trying to figure out, do we want to be in the future and how we want to accomplish that. So it's really an exciting time, and I'm really excited to be part of that. So we've just kind of plotted out our year of educational opportunities and how we're going to structure that and offer those. So I'm really excited about the structure that we're going to be bringing to that. So we'll be having three different sessions during the year, so that it's a little bit it's sort of be in chewable parts, so people can kind of you know, select what they want to do at what time of year. And we're talking about how we're going to expand some of our cultural offerings, because we've had in the last year or so, we've started to kind of offer some more theatrical performances. Like we just had Grant Fitch come in and do a performance of A Christmas Story in December. So we're really looking to, and we had... it's escaping me, the other
Gutenberg, yes. The musical with Ensemble Theater Company, Zach Gibson and Dustin Ritchie. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So we're really hoping to be able to kind of offer some more of those things. And I'm hoping that we can build maybe an open mic night, so we can be able to start offering some things that are, you know, our focus has, I think, in the past been very much focused on and you can correct me, Sharon, if I'm wrong about this, but very focused on the visual arts, mm-hmm. And very traditional visual arts. And so I'm looking to kind of open things up a little bit so that we're, and it already had started to be opened up before I even arrived to doing performing arts and, you know, hopefully some spoken word stuff and be able to have some, offer some cultural offerings outside of just visual arts.
Okay. So is Lobesnik sad to let you go?
I can't speak for them. I know that I can speak for myself that it was a hard decision to leave. It was very bittersweet because I was I think I was kind of entrenched there, and I really enjoyed my work and the community and the people I worked with. And, you know, they have accomplished great things. And,
sure.
And I was a part of a lot of, you know, their growth as they reopened as the Lobesnik Center for the Arts after being the John G. Blank Center for the Arts for so many years. So, you know, I've been part of that growth, and, you know, I'm really proud of that. And it was a very exciting time to be there because there was so much, you know, they went from having educational offerings and, you know, just a couple staff members to, you know, a pretty good staff and running a year of these, you know, great exhibitions. So it was just, I don't know. I think all of that gave me a great experience. But all in all, I'm, you know, was very pleased to be able to accept the position as executive director to, you know, to kind of help another organization move forward and kind of be in a different position to kind of say, well, I think maybe we should do this, and I think maybe we should do that, mm-hmm. and to be heard and to be part of the growth of that organization in a more significant way.
Mm-hmm. Well, bringing your marketing skills has to be a big boon to the Art Barn itself. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm hoping it will be.
Well, coming on radio shows like this is a start, right? Isn't it?
I'm a woman with a plan.
There you go. Well, and that's what you need to do. Because Lobesnik was probably, like, in size compared to South Shore Arts, is like the second biggest one in our player in our area.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough to raise your visibility and raise your profile, but to attract people from maybe further away than just Porter County. So
yeah. And I feel that I, you know, developed some of my skills in order to be able to do that, because I was, you know, while I was at Lobesnik, I was definitely trying to help them build their visibility, because, you know, they have a great reputation in the community, but they recognize that they're set off from the main highway and they're not always so easy to find, and so, you know, I learned how to work with different community agencies, and, you know, and I learned about signage and working with vendors and working with the board and trying to accomplish all of that. So I feel like I'm fully prepared to be able to do that for the Art Barn. So,
Sharon, you know, you've worked as secretary and also a teacher there. What are some of your ideas and visions for the center?
Well, having known Jan, and really, Jan was just effervescent. She was so enthusiastic about art. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like she created a space there that felt really all-inclusive. Any age, any skill level, you can walk in and not feel like, oh, I don't belong here.
Right.
And the homey feel of it doesn't hurt either. I mean, there's a kitchen right off the main lobby, and
it's
it looks
a happy
like a kitchen.
Place.
Yeah, it's
it
a very really happy is. Place. They used to call it Happy Jan Farm because that was her dream. So I feel like having had it under sort of private ownership for so many years, it had a flavor that was appealing to a number of people, and it was lovely, but we weren't reaching the larger community mm-hmm. quite as much as we could. And now I feel like we're transitioning since in the past 2 years, almost three years since Jan passed away. We're holding to her vision of, you know, anyone can do art.
Yeah, the inclusiveness.
Come here, inclusiveness, the beautiful surrounding nature, the farm, the rural atmosphere, but we're also giving it professionalism. We're kind of putting a polish on it that it sort of was maybe lacking a little bit before. And there's a structure to it now that's kind of caught up with, you know, the 21st century. We weren't quite there, but
we're going to get there.
We're getting there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do have Facebook and you do have a website. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and give the web address.
Artbarnschool.org.
Okay, that's very simple. And you also just simply search for that on Facebook. And are you on any other social media?
We got an Instagram account.
Okay. I know I've struggled with Instagram. Everyone's saying that you need to be on there.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to keep followers. I mean, I've now got to 800, which is, I consider, very small. But, mm-hmm. you know, you post. And, yeah, it's Instagram. And everyone says for artists and photographers and mm-hmm. things, Instagram is where it's at.
Yeah, it's very visual format. Yeah.
But I'm still finding that, you know, in my Facebook account, I have like 2,500 followers. And so, you know, when mm-hmm. I post something there, there's a much greater following. And so, yeah, mastering social media, I think, is really the key for moving forward and everything.
Yeah, for sure. And we've expanded our Google listing too. I've heard many, many people say, I found you on Google. When I typed in art classes in Valparaiso, you're the first name that popped up on Google, which is great news for us because people pay a lot of money to be that first name sometimes. But we've got a really good Google listing, and we really encourage good reviews too. We love to hear what people have to say about us on Facebook and on Google. So
we had as a guest not too long ago, and actually should be coming back with her husband, Marilee Popovich, and she does that and helps people get Google listing by placing names. Fortunately, you're probably in a position that you may have been lucky, but how to do your keywords and everything like that. She does that for businesses. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's happening at the Art Barn? I mean, you know, I know you have a whole things coming up like in this upcoming year, and I know you have one special thing that comes up in the summer too we can talk about.
Yeah. Well, I think probably the programming-wise, the next thing that we have coming up is the Valentine workshop. And do you want to talk? Sharon kind of leads that, and so she's our expert on that program.
That's one of my little pet projects. I like to develop little workshops for kids that adults, their adult that brings them, can come and join in for free. And the one coming up is our Valentine, February 9, Victorian Valentines, because those are so fun. And then we have a little Victorian-style tea party with china and tea and finger sandwiches. And you can bring your little sweetheart and for 3 hours create Valentines and then have tea and take your Valentines home. And it's just very sweet. It's a nice little winter project on a cold winter day.
So when is that?
February 9th. Okay. That's a Saturday from 1 to 4.
Okay.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Well, that's good. And what is there a cost for that?
$35 per child, but the attending adult can accompany for free.
And eat finger sandwiches for
that's
nothing
right.
else.
Mm-hmm. And if it's anything, I attended the, we do an ornament workshop in December too, and I brought my daughter in, and she and I, we came for 3 hours, and we just, you know, Sharon has all these stations kind of set up where you can create, you know, like these little creative stations, and there's different things. And so it's actually a lot of fun. You can work together and work separately. It's just sort of it's an opportunity to immerse yourself for, you know, for 3 hours in art making projects. So it's really fun.
And anything else coming
up? Yeah.
Out?
Can you Can you elaborate on the ceramic studio that is?
I'm really excited about it. So we will be opening with ceramics classes in late March. So we're going to put ceramics classes into our spring session that's coming up. But currently, we received a grant through the Porter County Community Foundation. So we're very grateful for their support with this project. It's very exciting. So what we've done so far is we have been able to order a kiln. So we have a brand new kiln, and we have 5 potter's wheels, and we're in the process of
electric.
Okay. And so we have the equipment, and we're preparing the space. So the Art Barn has sort of a main floor. If you've ever been to the Art Barn, you've probably been to the main level, which is kind of our gallery space. But we also have some spaces downstairs. And mm-hmm. so as part of, you know, as director, I'm like, okay, well, we need to activate all these spaces that we have here. Because it's a barn, so there's a lot of room. And so there's a space downstairs that we're converting. It was formerly a residence or an apartment. And so we're converting that into the studio space because of the water access. There's a bathroom nearby and there's a kitchen, and so there's going to be places for people. You know, you need water when you're doing ceramics. So we're converting the space so that we can have our wheels in there and prepare our kiln space so everybody's
exciting.
Safe. Yeah, I know. I'm really excited. So, and that whole process started before. I can't take credit for that project. That was all our board member Denise Kirkland wrote a grant for it, and so the staff and the board members have been really integrally involved in keeping the organization going after Jan's death. And so that was one of the projects that had already come about before I even arrived. So I have the privilege of being able to see it through. Mm-hmm.
That's great. I saw on the website that you can also rent your space or come in and do that. So explain how that works and what do they get how does that work?
Generally, people that I handle rentals usually, and the people that come to rent are looking for graduation party space or wedding, bridal shower, or even a small wedding reception. Some people have their ceremonies right there. And they're normally renting the big studio area, which comfortably seats up 50 to 60 people. And we do have an 80-person maximum capacity in that room. And then sometimes in the past, there have been people who have rented big tents and had their celebration outside and then just had the building as well to use for bathrooms or kitchen space. So,
and you could have Moses the donkey perform the ceremony.
Yeah. He performs his own ceremony, just
whenever he wants. He can witness for you. I don't think that he can perform them though.
Oh, there you go. Just bless him, or the bride come riding in on donkey. Well, you have one really big.
He doesn't always like to cooperate, though.
Yeah. So. I've tried to photograph him sometimes, and he's been very shy, or like, okay, I'm going to show you my best side. You're listening to Art in the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. Hey, we'd like to remind you that you may support not only the station, but specifically this show. And if you're interested in doing that, go to wvlp.org/support. And Esther and I would really encourage you to become an underwriter of this program because we're trying to expand our outreach and everything. We know that many of you can't hear us over the air, but you certainly can hear us online. And this particular program, as every week, is on Mondays at 5 o'clock. So you can hear these young ladies one more time if you're missing part of the show. And again, you can stream it and everything like that. So I know you guys have one really big event out there. Can you tell us about that?
We have Art Blitz.
That it?
Yeah. That's kind of our big summer. That's our big summer. And it's in, the dates. Did you write down the dates for Blitz?
Always the third full weekend of September. This year it will be on the 21st and 22nd of September.
So, but it's our, you know, it's our big kind of fall showcase of what we do. And so we bring artists in to kind of show off their craft. I know we've traditionally, Art Blitz has been going on for 2 years.
Okay.
With the sunflower, I think it's kind of modeled after our sunflower festival, which has a long history. Art Blitz is very much about kind of introducing to people about what we offer. It invites them into art making at the, you know, at the event. So there's we bring out chairs and people are allowed to paint those, and kids are invited to come and there. I know that my daughter completed a little like a wood tile that then goes up on the exterior wall of the art barn. So they're very much collaborative projects that people can participate in. We bring the weavers. You want to tell me about
the Doonland Weavers Guild participated as well, but there's a group from Griffith led by Margaret Jones who just love it. They come every year, all 2 years. This is another third year. They will be back. And they have the greatest time, and they just sit there spinning on their spinning wheels and weaving what they've spun, and it's our most popular attraction thus far. But we do hope to include other things. We've invited the Hot Shop. They don't have portable equipment that they feel like they can move over. But we really want to include all kinds of art. It's the Art Blitz. You know, it was modeled after the Bio Blitz. And if you know what the Bio Blitz is, it's what is, you know, all of the flora and fauna and insect world in a certain particular area and exploring it, documenting it. So the Art Blitz is all kinds of art, all kinds of any kind of art you can think of. What does it look like? How is it made? And you can come and explore it and get your hands in it at no risk to you.
And you do have music. So what are some of the musical guests that you have?
Currently, Switchback, I believe, is going to be returning this mm-hmm. year. So they're a great, talented group. And so, we have yet to start a lot of our deep planning with it. So we're not exactly sure who all of our musical acts will be.
Well, in the past, you've had Wolfgang, haven't you?
We've had Wolfgang, yeah.
Yeah, I know Dean from years ago, so
okay. Yeah.
We run into each other and swap war stories about education. So,
and we'll have some food out there as well. So, but it's free. It's right now the model is that it's free to get in, and then there are different paid activities throughout the event, so that you can buy tickets to, and it's like, you know, a couple tickets to participate in a certain activity.
Yeah, and they're donation based, so yeah. we won't turn anyone away. Anyone can participate, but we do really appreciate all the little donations we get for participating in those. And we're a SAG stop for Lori's Century Ride.
Yes.
And we were voted most popular SAG stop. So they're probably going
to
be part of that.
You better explain that to people. I know what it is, but explain it to our audience.
It's supplies and gear for the bikers that mm-hmm. do the...
Cyclists, actually.
Cyclists, sorry, yes.
They're thinking motorcycle guys.
Right, not the bike. Although those are welcome, too. They do this, it's a fundraiser, I believe, for several years now. And I don't know who they fundraise for exactly. I know the YMCA has been sponsoring it the past couple years. But 700 to 1,000 cyclists participate, and they need to stop every so often on the road to get water and, you know, rest.
Refuel. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so they can stop at the Art Blitz and enjoy, you know, the music and the food. And the. Some of them have bought art from us before, which they come and pick up later. They don't ride away with it on their bicycles.
So is there any other big event? Do you have like any kind of banquet event planned, or is that something?
I have a favorite event.
Oh,
what's
yours?
My very first introduction to the art barn, probably in 2001, was the juried exhibition.
Oh yes.
Where it was my first time, and I went with my friend Stara, and so that was my first introduction to the artists in the area. And of course, don't we always go, well, what's my favorite piece of art here? Mm-hmm. And I remember my two favorites was my first introduction to Kevin Firm, who has that show in Miller right mm-hmm. now. Just the most glorious piece of pastel foliage. It was just sensitive and so beautiful. And then the other one was a rural landscape by Garrett Hamm, I think. Was that his name? I know it was Garrett. It's not the one. Oh, it was like so beautiful. So I love that. I mean, it was just like so overwhelming because there's art literally every
hung square. Salon style.
was fabulous.
Yeah. So. Well, we're continuing that that tradition. So I believe this is our 26th year for the Juried Art Exhibition. And so that the reception for that will be May 18th. And we're going to be, because we just, we actually, our program committee just met yesterday. And so we've established some of our deadline, our, you know, our dates this year. So May 18th is the reception date, 6 to 8 p.m. And we will be doing our call for artists for that. So we encourage people to check our website soon so that you can get our information and, you know,
and what kind of art are you looking for?
Well, we look for all kinds of different things. It's mostly two-dimensional because we don't have a lot of capacity for displaying three-dimensional pieces just because of our space. But
yeah, it has to be hangable.
And boy, that exhibit opening is jam-packed. We couldn't even move. I mean, it's really well attended and appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah, so two-dimensional works, and I believe we accept everything from drawing, pastels, painting, printmaking. I think it's pretty. I don't think we're very limited on the particular media.
No, we had someone last year ask about digital art, but he didn't end up actually submitting any. So we were a little like, well, we're not sure what that looks like and how we, you know, is it something that we would accept? And then the other question has always been, do you accept photography? And not that we don't appreciate photography, but it's such a world of its own. We could have a whole show just on photography. Mm-hmm. So we are limiting it to original art that is made with, you know, media like pastels, paints, even clay. We had someone make something. It was a slightly three-dimensional, but it didn't exceed the dimensions that are specified for hanging on the wall. So it can be built, hand-built art too, with materials, fabrics, things like that.
Some, yeah, mixed media.
Yeah.
And so the children's exhibit too is coming up.
Yeah. Yes, that is. Yes. That's much sooner. That's March 16th is the opening for that, from 5 to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. So, and
do you reach out to the schools, or through the art classes that you have?
This is our third year for our children's exhibit. It is limited to the children who have attended the Art Barn, but it means any child who's ever up to 18 years old who has even attended a camp, any child who has ever made art at the Art Barn can come, and they don't have to bring art that they've only made at the Art Barn. They can bring their original works that they've done at home. So it's our way of honoring our students and exhibiting their work.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. But everyone's, you know, the public is invited, but generally the families of the children are the ones that come.
Sounds like a nice, is it an afternoon thing?
It is March 16th on, that's a Saturday. It's 5 to 7 is the opening party. And then the exhibit will be up until April 27th.
Oh,
so
excellent.
You can visit and look at it.
So we talked a little bit about the mission for the future, and I know you're in the planning stages, but how do you hope to reach out to the larger Porter County and Northwest Indiana to get people out there? Because it is a little out of the way, you have to admit.
Yeah. Well, we're a mile south of Highway 6.
Okay.
So that makes it kind of easy. And if you know where Anderson Winery is on 6, because it's been there forever, we're right by them, about a mile south on 6. So it's we're not too deep into the woods.
No.
Future planning. There are, you know, our plans for being able to kind of broaden our reach are going to be, I mean, the short answer is through partnerships.
Okay.
And as we kind of mentioned earlier, there's so many different organizations in the area, so many different arts organizations, and when you think about like the National Park Service and Dunes Learning Center and South Shore Arts, and there's so many different organizations that that are in the area that all kind of, some of us do the same. There's a lot of crossover, but there's a lot of different partnerships that are, you know, where there isn't crossover, but very nice, a nice matchup. So I'm really hoping to be able to to broaden our reach through partnerships.
Okay. How about expanding exhibits? You have like one exhibit. Any ideas for other exhibits? Maybe expanding your exhibit calendar?
That's probably an endless list of...
Well, I thought about it a little bit, and we don't... Our exhibit calendar is a little, you know, beyond the children's art exhibition and the juried art exhibition. Our calendar is a little bit... Our exhibition calendar is a little bit loose because our mission is still currently very, you know, very much about education and... having exhibitions is a whole other curatorial function, and so being able to, you know, curate shows and hang shows and prepare your space for shows, I know it's not an easy thing. So, but I'm hoping that, and I'm not going to make any promises here, but I'm hoping that maybe we can have a student exhibition of work, so the adult students that are taking classes can also have an opportunity to exhibit their work. And I know that in 2020 we do have a plan to have a retrospective of Jan Sullivan's work at the Brower Museum of Art. So okay. Greg Hertzlieb, we've been in discussions with Greg Hertzlieb about that, and I know it's on the calendar for 2020. So we're really excited about that.
Well, you know, and one idea too, just throw it out there, is maybe partner with another art group to actually... You host it, but they like a different art group bring in, and they actually do most of the work for an exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sure.
That saves you a little bit of work, and just you provide the space, they provide the art.
Yeah.
And
that's certainly an opportunity. So I recognize that we just have not gotten to that point where we haven't developed a calendar of right. a full calendar of exhibitions.
Let's see, you've been on the job, what, 18 days now?
since early November, but we, believe me, there's been a lot of behind the scenes kind of planning that's been going on and organizing and committee meetings, and so what do we do? What's our priority? What are we going to do next?
Prior to having an executive director, you pretty much were what's called a board-driven organization. Tell us about some of your board members. You know where they come from and.
Well, I believe I mentioned earlier, Julia Holmes is an artist, but she's our board president right now, and she's been on the board. Could you speak to how long she's been on the board? I don't.
At least a decade, if not more.
Okay. So Julia's on the board. Our vice president is John Birnbaum, and he's with an area university, and we're pleased to have him. He's our VP. Charles Kirkland, who has been he had his own CPA firm, and he's our treasurer, so he brings a lot of great experience with that. Sharon sits on our board. We just brought on a couple new board members, Sue Arnold, who's kind of embedded in the Valparaiso community, and Angela Grothos, who's with Craig Hedling and Huff in Michigan City and Valpo here.
Sandy Appleby,
who's been with the Art Barn for a very long time and was a close friend of Jan's, and she brings a wealth of knowledge, and she has a lot of institutional knowledge about where things have been and where they're going. And also, I know I'm forgetting, I'm trying to do this all in my head. James May is also on our board, as well as...
Denise Kirkland,
thank you. I mentioned her earlier. Okay, so she's been helping us with grants. So
my history with Denise goes back when I was working in the Highlands, the auditorium and theater director, and she was the new artist for the symphony.
Yeah.
So they look for people that were just coming either out of high school or just emerging in their career. And, of course, now she has a long history with the symphony for that. But I remember her. She was the best new emerging artist with the symphony. So
she's a performing artist, but she's also, a great painter, too. She's been taking classes. So she paints with us as well, too. Okay. But was doing a bang up job of raising money before I came on board. So she's a great asset to our board. So, and also Joe Marion is on our board. He handles a lot of our IT needs. Have I missed anybody?
Lisa Slauson just
joined our board. In fact, we just voted her in this last board meeting. And so she's also a plein air painter, and she's helping us with some of our volunteer organization. But I think the thing that I want to mention about the board is that I mean, I don't know what it is. The Art Barn is just a really special place, and people are just so devoted to the Art Barn, and our volunteers have been the lifeblood of the organization, and I'm really hoping that as we move forward that people will continue, you know, our volunteers will continue to stay involved and you know, provide input and, you know, come to events and support us. And so the volunteers have really, it's really amazing how much time they've put in. So I'm really grateful to
our
volunteers.
Now, if people, do you have actually like a membership to the Art Barn? Like if people are the...
It's mostly a donor circle. Okay. I think if you break it down, it's really a membership program like you might like South Shore Arts has or the Besnick Center might have, where you pay like a $35 fee and then you have you get discounts on classes and things. We don't really have a developed membership program in that way, but we do have a friends program where you can become a friend of the Art Barn, so you can get in at a lower level for as little as $25 to become a friend. And then we, go on up to, the thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. Of course. So there are different levels for that and different, acknowledgement opportunities for that as well.
And if somebody's interested in, volunteering and maybe eventually becoming part of your board, would you be interested in inviting people that are interested in the arts?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very welcoming place. We have our arms open to anybody who wants to, to get involved, even if it's, if they're thinking about trying to get, back into their art, or if they, they have professional skills that they want to bring to the table, that they, they have a background in, someone has a background in marketing, or someone has a background in database management or something like that. We have a great need for help.
Banking is always good. Have bankers on your board.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Having that financial input is very important.
Especially for not-for-profits.
It's a
struggle for all non-for-profits in this day and age. And if you're having that, I mean, the several boards I sit on, that's always one of the things we're looking at. Like, who can we get in here that's not a non-artist? Because a lot of times you have artists on your board and, you don't have necessarily financial people. So.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
But yeah, if anybody is interested in getting involved, you can either give us a call at 219-462-9009 or, you can visit our website, and I'm sure there's a way for people to indicate their interest on our website as well. So you can always email us as well.
Okay. So if they email you, either you or Sharon will see that email, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get back to them.
So, Amy, do you still have time for your art practice? All right.
I'm very inspired, and I feel like a lot of the... I feel like I can be creative in different ways, really. And I haven't been doing very much design work at all. I've been very much in in the budgeting process and the strategy process,
yes.
Which is, it's definitely a skill that I have and that I excel at. But, I also do a lot of design work too. So I did I have a kind of a history of doing, print layouts and things like that and preparing things for the website and whatnot. So, I'm looking forward to getting back into a little bit more of that because that's definitely a creative part of my job.
Yeah.
And being creative about how you're going to strategize.
You just have an easel set up downstairs and just take a little painting.
I know.
I need a painting hour, please.
I could completely do that.
So what is your art, painting or?
I would say when I was in... when I was in school all those years ago, painting was probably my media, but I really like mixed media. But I'd say drawing is probably my base. I mean, I think that's probably my strength, but I have other things that I like to do.
And your mother, she's so bubbly and creative. So So is that kind of what inspired you? Was she always doing art you were growing up?
When I was a kid, I remember I think we were living in Roselawn at the time, and we had this garage, and my dad built this tiny studio for her that was like on the back end of the garage, so it was like very narrow, but it gave her like a little space where she could work, and she was a painter at that time. So I kind of grew up watching my mom paint, and she always sewed, so my sister and I had matching outfits and things like that. So she was always she always was creating something, and I think she went on hiatus for a number of years as life got more complicated, but now she's doing rope baskets and things, so
beautiful.
She's creating things now. She's quite
and she's so delightful
quite the craftswoman. Yeah, and she is very delightful.
It must be nice. It must have been really nice that
I mean, just have the example of your father creating this studio for her, too. Mm-hmm. What a nice to know that those are sacred spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't remember ever going in there. I think I was banned from going in there. But she did teach me how to sew, that's for sure. So, yeah.
So, with Art Barn, we're about ready to wrap up here. Is there any thoughts you'd like to press on to our guests and everything about, you know, we've talked a little bit about your vision and, you know, you're kind of new to the table, but anything else that we've missed in asking you?
Yeah, I think the thing that I'd really like to get across, and of course people know that we're still here because, you know, Sharon and I are here talking to you, but I think a lot of people thought when the Jan passed away that the Art Barn was going to cease to exist. So I just want to let everyone know that we are very much alive. We're a growing organization, and we're very inclusive. So come by and be part of what we're doing.
And how do we find you? I know you said you gave us, but maybe give us a little more address information or someone punch
it
in.
Does GPS work in your area?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, it does. I know I found it that way.
Yeah, 465 East, 400 North.
695 East, 400 North. But those are just like, they sound like coordinates. A mile south of 6 is a good, on 400. Right across from Jackson School, Jackson Elementary. So that's, and if you see Anderson's, you've gone just one a little bit too far. But yeah, GPS works great.
Okay. And you drive in the driveway, and as soon as you cross that threshold, I mean, it's just so enchanting and wonderful to be there, and you just know you're entering something fabulous.
If you've never been out there, come out and visit us, because once everyone has been there, a new person walks in, they say, I didn't know this place existed, and I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's unforgettable.
Do you have regular hours?
We are going to be establishing regular hours, and I'll mention those. It'll be 10 to 4 Monday through Friday, and then 10 to 2 on Saturdays.
And Sundays you're closed.
Sundays we're not.
Unless you have an event.
Yes, exactly.
Unity in the Dunes meets at our building every Sunday from 10 to 11, so people are welcome to come to that too. If you want to come and check out the Art Barn and check out a really wonderful little service that's not a church, Unity is a good place to go. So,
and it's free parking because you're out in the middle, and you can visit Moses and all that's the animals and everything like that.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, one more time, we have Art Barn. We have Amy Davis. I'm going to try it again.
Neverdowskis.
Wow. Well, when you got married, did you think about that? Say, you know, maybe I'll just keep my maiden name.
Well, yeah, it was discussion.
Along with Sharon Angelina from the Art Barn, we hope you enjoyed listening today. By the way, we'd like to remind our listeners that, again, you can support us. We have probably a year-round campaign for our WVLP listeners. It's that time of year again, and every time is. We're always looking for your support for individual listeners, show-specific, or station underwriters. Esther and I would especially, again, invite you to become an underwriter of this program, WVLP.org/support. And I always say, don't give till it hurts, give till it feels good. So you've been listening to Art in the Air. We're on every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast on Mondays at 5 p.m. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Again, we'd like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager.
Thank you so much, Greg.
He's making our life very easy. Again, we are really interested in your arts or arts for the event, Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com. We'll see you next week here right on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha.